McCarron in for him, and he scores! Mike McCarron, a wrist shot from long range! Anderson might have been screened, it's 2-0! Montreal 0 for 1 with a man advantage. Here's Desharnais up front, they score! Shaw with another one! And it's 3-1, Canadiens! The spinning ball here to Galchenyuk. Threw to Radulov from his knees, back to Galchenyuk, right in, scores! Oh, what a setup and what a goal! Alex Galchenyuk! Well, that'll make the highlight reels. Here comes Lehkonen now off the right boards. A snapshot! He scores! Lehkonen ripped it under the bar! Well, he didn't do much until that shot, but boy, that kid has some nice hands. 6-1. Weber left by quick wrist shot. Oh, man, I hate to gush too much, but he just had a little snapshot. He just curled over Komarov. Fans in a festive mood now.
And I'm thinking, how did Toronto score 8 goals?
Oh, Yamelin with a crunching check on Hyman that time.
Yeah, he goes off. He got hurt.
La deuxième étoile, the second star, Shea Weber.
It's good. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was exciting. A lot of energy in the building. Obviously, it was a great result and something we can build forward to Buffalo.
Pierre Maguire brought to you by Dagwarts and the large Gino sandwich. Have your fresh toppings any way you like. Now only $7 at Dagwarts.
Welcome back. Again, an abbreviated edition. We'll get right to it with Pierre, Mitch Melnyk, Rod Francis, Mitch Gallo. After carrying the Blue Jays win over Texas, take it 2 games to none series lead. We'll go to Texas. Rich Griffin will join us in about 30 minutes or so. But here he is. How are you, Pierre?
I'm good, except I'm disappointed. I'll tell you why. I always try to come on your show and be ahead of the curve, always, you know, having a strong opinion on one thing or another that hopefully will eventually be right. Shea Weber beat me to the punch. What was awesome about last night, think about last spring, the energy in the building.
Mm-hmm.
There was no energy in that building last year, none at the end of the year, zero. Tons of energy last night, tons of it. That's what you want to have. Good job by the Canadians.
So Jeff Petrie went down, and we won't know until Monday. I mean, he's being reevaluated on Monday. It doesn't look good, and the fact that we don't know until Monday, I don't think it makes it any better. But we're just speculating here. But let's assume he's going to miss some time to start the season.
This is a huge opening for Sergachev.
Yep.
I think everybody knows that.
Well, then would you team him with Markov or Yemelin? He's going to play the right side. It looks like he'll play the right side because Therrien said after the game last night that they liked what they saw of him on the right side.
Yeah, I would agree with that from the coaching staff. And then you compound it with the fact that obviously PK's moved on even though Shea's come in. I would say that he does look good on the right side. Maybe Markov, and maybe it's the right thing to play him with Markov just because of communication skills and veteran presence and respect. I mean, Andre Markov is a highly respected player, not just in the NHL, but for young Russian-born players, he's a very highly respected person.
I know initially the thought of an 18-year-old starting in the NHL on the second defense unit is like it makes you maybe shudder a little bit. But on the other hand, I don't think an 18-year-old Russian kid could have a better mentor breaking into the NHL than a guy like Markov, right?
No, I agree. That's why I said what I said. We agree wholeheartedly. I had a 19-year-old that ended up being pretty good, Chris Pronger. I played him with Brad McCrimmon, the late Brad McCrimmon. And I remember going to Brad and saying to him, I really need you to cultivate this guy. I know you play with Mark Howe. I know you play with Raymond Bork. And I know you've been out in the West in Calgary in a Stanley Cup champ. I need you to break this guy in and teach him what it is to be a pro. And Brad just loved that opportunity. And he made a big difference in Chris Pronger's career. I think Markov can do much the same.
Pierre, both Lehkonen and McCarron had strong finishes. They both put the puck in the net. So tell us now, this weekend, they're probably discussing all this right now through the weekend until they announce the cuts, the coaching staff, the front office, all the variables that go into deciding whether to keep the kids, and they're definitely going to keep at least one of them. And if McCarron does make the team, is he an extra forward? Does he play the wing on the fourth line with one of the veteran guys sitting to start? Like, how does this work?
What you need to look at, and I understand why you're focusing in on that, what you need to look at is contract situations. And you know Lekkonen's contract situation doesn't allow him to go to the American Hockey League.
Right.
He's got to go back to Frölunda. He's got to go back to Sweden, even though he's a Finn. That's where he's playing. So I got to think he's making the team because they want to keep him here. I have to believe that. So then it comes down to how do you view McCarron going forward? That's the biggest question. And that's the only people that can answer that are the people internally. I personally think he's a center iceman long term. That's just my own personal opinion. That's how I think you win games. That being said, they may think keeping him in the NHL, practicing every day in the NHL, learning the NHL lifestyle, having a grind at the NHL level might be the best thing for him. That's up to them, but I think contracts will stipulate a lot of what happens.
I thought tonight ended on a good note. I left a good vibe in their head about me, I think. And you know what? That's my job is to just make their decision hard. And you know what? I thought I did that tonight, and I ended my audition well, I thought.
All right. Mitch Gallo, you've been bullish right out of the from the get-go on McCarron making this team.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be at the expense of Brian Flynn or Torrey Mitchell. To Pierre's point about contracts, they both have NHL deals. Torrey Mitchell has two more years on his deal, if you include this one, right? What do you think? What would you do?
Well, I mean, it's, you know, again, it's not my money, and the contract situations definitely play into it. But I would say if I'm icing my best possible roster right now, I think Michael McCarron is a better player than Torrey Mitchell or Brian Flynn.
Pierre?
What you need to remember, and this is becoming, and we've talked about this since I've been on your show, this is critically important for fans to remember. You're not always going to pick the best player, especially a young one versus an old one, because you've got an expansion draft coming. Really important to remember. I can tell you a bunch of teams that I've spoken with that are really highly concerned about appearance due to keeping a player that might not be perceived as good as one that they're letting go. But a lot of it comes down to expansion availability, and that's going to be a big issue for a lot of these teams. I know on the record, Jim Benning in Vancouver is on the record saying that goes into a lot of his thought process in terms of picking his team.
Pierre, like, okay, I understand it. It makes sense what you're saying. Now, how do they handle McCarron in the sense of messaging to him? Like, what if he says to them, you know, I did everything you told me. I ate right in the offseason. I trained hard. I got slimmer. I worked on my skating. I had a good camp. I scored twice. I've done everything you've asked me to do. Why are you sending me down?
He wouldn't be the first player that felt that way, and he won't be the last player.
Keep working, kid.
That's how it works, and sometimes it's a test. You know, I just had this discussion with my son, who's 14 years of age, who's taking advanced French in school in Boston, and I said, you don't even know if this is an academic test or an athletic test to see if you can handle being with older guys, but you better understand that what you do in the classroom, even though you don't want to believe it, might be tied into what you do on the hockey rink. So you better wake up and do the work in French class. And I'm telling you, it's the same deal with NHL players. You may think you've done everything right, but they still may want to test you more.
Does part of the equation, you know, vis-a-vis the veteran versus rookie debate, and clearly McCarron would bring an element they don't have. Very few teams have a guy who's 6'6 up there. On the other hand, you know what you have in Flynn and Torrey Mitchell. Would it be that the older guy is more likely to accept his role as a healthy scratch as opposed to this kid who's just starting his career, or what?
Yes, absolutely. 100% what you just said, my friend. Veteran presence and guys that have established presence, those are the guys that are basically, they get a little bit more of a leash to run with. Mm-hmm. So the answer is yes.
McCarron's displayed a lot of sound self-analysis throughout camp. When he felt he had a bad game last Tuesday, he rebounded really well and played a strong game and followed that up really well. Is that something that resonates when a player can prove to be a self-starter and can provide that own self-analysis on his own?
Yep, that's a big part of it. There's no question. I think that's a really apropos point. Being realistic, being transparent, facing the music, not whining and complaining, that's all part of it. It's a big part of it.
I've never played with someone who actually wanted me to have the puck. So I think it's great. I mean, he makes some great, you know, great passes, obviously. And, you know, Carzy going to those dirty areas, going to the net, getting in on the forecheck, that line chemistry, you know, it broke through tonight.
That was part of what led to the energy. Andrew Shaw with two goals, Shea Weber with some hits and some goals and some...
Wait a second. I have to interrupt.
Yes, you like that quote?
I do. I like a lot of the sound bites you play for me. This one got me to laugh.
Yes, it got everybody to laugh.
I want Andrew. I hope he's listening because I think he probably is. Just so he knows, he is very revered in Chicago. Guys actually had no problem with him having the puck on his stick. There were guys in that room that were really ticked off that he wasn't part of the Blackhawks anymore. That's the harsh reality of the pro business. Doesn't mean Chicago made a mistake. They had to do it because of salary cap issues. Andrew's in a good spot, and Mark Bergevin understands, because he had him in Chicago, how important this guy could be as a glue guy and a good player. But that soundbite made me laugh, because I know players in Chicago really would love him to be still on their team, and they don't have a problem with him having the puck on his stick.
Well, I think part of his character, right, and popularity is this, the self-effacing comment that we just heard. I mean, that kind of endears you to everybody, basically.
He and Nick Leddy were inseparable dinner mates all the time in Chicago. They used to eat in the same restaurant that I did. I'd see them all the time. He's extremely popular. I think if you did a quiz with Jonathan Toews and asked him five different questions about Andrew Shaw, I guarantee it, Toews would get them all right.
I don't have any worries about it. You know, hockey's a physical sport. It's a big aspect of the game. Everybody goes to the net to score goals. So, you know, I think we do an excellent job of it.
All right. So there's Carey Price afterwards. Everybody's waiting to see Carey Price return to the Bell Center. He did. He looked like Carey Price before he got hurt last year. But an interesting post-game comment. We don't have the clip here. Nathan Beaulieu, to your point, Pierre, yesterday about opponents testing out Beaulieu, dumping the puck into his end.
Yep.
His response was, it was so refreshing to head back there and see Carey Price already with the puck on his stick. The difference he makes in terms of starting the rush is incredible.
That is a very good point and very fair. Here's the difference. And I'm just telling you, it's preseason. Wait till they start doing short side shoot-ins on his side and Price can't go play the puck. So the puck's going to be chipped. And it's going to end up between the hash mark and the icing line. And Beaulieu's going to have to go back and get it. And that's where the impact is going to be. And Carey can't go play those pucks because it's out of the trapezoid.
Right.
You're going to see. I'm just telling you, it's been like a long time. That's what's going to happen. But it's okay. It'll be a good test, and he'll be fine. The team's at rim it, and any game I do with Montreal in it, I always show Carey touching the puck and handling the puck. In Dallas, when he used to play there, Marty Turco, we used to call it Turco touches. When Brodeur used to be in New Jersey, we used to call it Marty's moments. You know, when Eddie Belfour was in Chicago, or in Chicago, Dallas, or Toronto, we used to call it, you know, Eddie's excellence, something like that. And so those goalies matter. But the game has changed, and you're going to see. He'll be challenged.
It's almost like a crash course for him because, you know, we had a certain way that we wanted to play the game, and he could just felt his presence on the ice. He's doing the right play at the right time. He's doing the percentage play out there at the right time. And that's leadership as far as we're concerned.
Who do you think Michel Therrien was talking about?
Shea.
You got it.
I mean, and that's what Shea's going to bring. Now, this is before the regular season has started. This is the way they have to manage the player, because I saw the player break down last year at the end of the year in the playoffs. So did the rest of the league. You can't overindulge his passion to play. You got to save him from himself. And it pains me to say that. I am the biggest fan of the player. You can ask the player when he was a 16 or 17-year-old kid out in Kelowna. I used to run their practices. I think I can't say enough about him as a person and as a player. But you cannot allow him to be force-fed 22 to 25 minutes a night. It can't happen. You're going to have to monitor that. That's all.
Pierre, remember a year or two ago when you noticed the trend of people keeping often saying you need to play the right way, and you wanted to know what does it mean to play the right way since everyone started saying it? This year, I've noticed in preseason, it's the percentage play. He takes the percentage play. That's going to be the trend this year. It's a bit of a bold prediction for me. Percentage play.
No, but that's good. So I'm guessing percentage play means don't turn it over at the opposition blue line. Get it out of your own zone. And don't take a high-risk type of PK Subban dash up the ice kind of play. Is that what you're kind of alluding to?
Yes. Short, quick passes out of the zone up to the forwards. Okay.
Yeah, we're on the same page. Yep.
TSN's annual list of top 50 players as voted on by players around the league. No surprise who's number one, Crosby. Number two, Kane. Number three, Connor McDavid. Number four, Carey Price, followed by Drew Doughty, Jamie Benn, Jonathan Toews, Alex Ovechkin, Erik Karlsson, John Tavares. The Magnificent 10 as voted on by players.
Well, I was involved in the selection of that whole thing. I picked, I'll tell you right now, I picked Connor McDavid too.
You picked him too?
I did. I went on a conference call yesterday and said it.
So you picked him too ahead
of
Kane.
Connor McDavid too.
So Crosby, McDavid, Kane is how you had it.
I did.
Okay.
I had Taves. Taves won, I believe, if I remember correctly, because I've done so many lists. I think in this list I had Taves won ahead of Price.
Okay, and what's interesting here is you break down the defenseman because of all this discussion and people I have great respect for, including Gord Miller and Ray Ferraro. Here is the top defenseman. I gave you two of them, Doughty and Karlsson, so that's 1-2. Yep. The rest of the defensemen, Brent Burns, 3, Duncan Keith, 4, Victor Hedman, 5, Roman Josi, 6, Chris Letang, 7, Shea Weber, 8, PK Subban, 9. Isn't that interesting?
I don't believe that's how my list came out.
Well, you got outvoted, Pierre.
No, but a lot of the same. They're all the same names. Just I don't have Burns ahead of some of those players.
Yeah, I wouldn't have him there either, personally. But this is
I'm
the majority.
Telling you.
But is there really a discussion about whether PK's a top 10 guy or not?
It shouldn't be. He's a top 10.
All right.
It shouldn't be.
Final word for now. What are you doing this weekend?
Watching rowing. My daughter's in a couple big races this weekend. The head of the Housatonic. That's the name of the race.
Sounds like a movie.
I hope it's a movie. I will tell you this. I love sports. I've never seen young people so determined to be good at something than what you see in rowing. It's savage how they train their athletes. Savage. So these kids have unbelievable passion. They know there's no financial reward at the end of it. It's just about going to college and about potentially being in the Olympics. That's what it is.
Something that Pierre has gotten to observe firsthand the last several years. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving weekend. Pierre, we'll do it again on Tuesday.
Happy Thanksgiving to everybody up there. Mom, happy Thanksgiving. I'll miss your turkey.
Matthew scores.
What a shot.
He goes over the right shoulder of Price. Austin Matthews makes it 2-1.
And he uses Weber as a screen, and that's why Price doesn't see that.
That was pretty good, too, last night, huh?
Yeah, Campbell and I were trying to debate whether the Austin Matthews shot or the Arturi Laikkanen shot, which of the two was more impressive.
And?
I think the Laikkanen shot was nicer, but the Matthews shot beat Carey Price, and the Laikkanen shot beat a sieve.
Oh,
that was some terrible goaltending.
You're in mid-season Habs Hot Topic form. It returns tomorrow.
Oh, I'm very excited. Yeah, 3 to 5 tomorrow. Sean and I have the season premiere of the Habs Hot Topic, and as you can imagine, we're going to come out firing.
Well, I mean, you're wearing a sweater, and you came in here tonight, and you didn't exactly have a good account of yourself, so... I think they're all proud guys and want to be real good and think we have enough skill to take a significant step from last year, and yet that skill doesn't mean anything unless you really compete hard, and I thought that would be the lesson in tonight's game.
Hockey Insider Pierre McGuire, brought to you by Ye Olde Orchard Pub, with six locations in and around.